When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome one and all to the beginning of the new version of the DC Universe. James Gunn has entered the building, Colin Farrell has entered the mask, and Kristen Milioti is no longer the mother from How I Met Your Mother. She's a straight psycho. Her words. Yeah. And this is us, Adam and Ryan, you boys, talking about The Penguin on HBO Max.
This show, I was very excited for. And it was one of those shows that I had high expectations. Colin Farrell, obviously incredibly good. Kristen Milioti, obviously very good. And it's HBO, so the quality should be there, right? You assume? And it delivered, man. I really, really liked this first episode.
Yeah, I think this is a good example of, especially because we're entering a new era of DC, the James Gunn era, where sometimes people feel like Marvel has been going on for so long that it's sort of the train is down the tracks and it's too much to catch up on. Like, this is an opportunity for you to get in on the ground floor of a new cinematic universe, that being, again, James Gunn's DC. And this is the first foray, which I do find interesting. Because a common theme we talk about is that these worlds based on comic books that have almost, you can call them an infinite amount of stories that grow and grow and grow and have to deal with power creep constantly, that being the characters just getting more and more and more and more powerful, and then which enters the fatigue state of he's here now and he can beat everybody because he's just more powerful. Got it. Cool.
It's Superman.
It's Superman. Right. Yes. And it's the problem that DC has always had, which is the main character in the DC universe is ostensibly God. So starting from the ground floor, going off to the side of the rebooted Robert Pattinson Batman, which I think was a great foray into the world of Batman, and I look forward to seeing that world more and more. Mm. But I also think that the world of Batman really does well when it is it's its own little corner and Superman doesn't show up. Because when Superman shows up, who gives a crap about the small
story?
Yeah, I
just wouldn't care. I wouldn't care if we ever saw Superman. I don't even like him. I don't even like Superman. But if I had to pick a DC hero, it would be Batman anyway, every time. He's just cooler.
Yeah, I think we won't in this thing. I think they're going to keep the Penguin to a small story where they're taking and they're relying on the acting and the writing and the directing, which I very much appreciate. And again, because it's now set in a new version of this world where it hasn't had to deal with power creep as of yet, it does allow you to sort of just focus in on this small story led by Colin Farrell, who says he'll never play the Penguin ever again because he doesn't want to sit for 3 hours and put on the makeup anymore.
I know. And it's funny that he said that. And I really like Colin Farrell, but stop being a pussy, dude. There are some people that put on makeup for way longer. You look at some of these characters like Pan's Labyrinth. How long did it take that guy to get in that makeup? It was a long ass time. So
I wholeheartedly disagree with you. If I had to be in a chair for 5 minutes when they were like, we're going to give you a comb over, I was like, I think I quit.
Yeah. Oh, here's $150 million.
Oh, I don't quit anymore. So as we enter the world of the Penguin, I suppose the people making it have to assume that maybe you've never seen the Penguin before, the character at all, right? you do not you know nothing of Oz Cobb, or like you didn't see the Danny DeVito version any of the cartoons growing up, but you get a sense that this is a world where Batman exists. And he's trying his best, but Gotham is basically New York City. It's a giant place, and all of the evil people are just sort of insane or criminals who to the nth degree. The second of which is what the Penguin is. He is a soldier in a crime family whose main gig is selling drugs in Gotham, and he's working his way up through guile and murder. And as you might recall, at the end of the last Batman movie, the Riddler shoots the like biggest kingpin, not kingpin from the MCU, but the biggest like drug kingpin in Gotham with a sniper rifle, creating a power vacuum in the underworld of Gotham. And that is where we enter. We enter where, again, as you might remember, at the end of Batman, the Riddler takes down all the seawalls. So the places in Gotham that have been flooded are basically like the poorest areas of Gotham, the ones that are already run over by gangs and by drugs. Most of which, again, is coming from the warehouse that the Penguin slash Colin Farrell is running. And the first thing we see is a conversation between Oz slash the Penguin and the son of the gangster King, who was recently killed and is now about to take over. And Oz is basically going to steal all the blackmail that the recently deceased Kingpin had, and as he's doing so, is sort of interrupted by the son, who is basically like, "Hey, man, what are you doing here?"
This just flooded, and my dad used to own this club, and we know you used to run it, but what are you doing here?
Right. What I'm doing here is trying to get all the dirt on this family the Falcons that I'm going to hang over them. And the son is new. You can tell he's very privileged. You can tell he's not ready for this. But at the same time, he does know a good amount about your boy Oz. He knows that he's a good soldier, but he also knows that he's a dirty soldier. Yeah. And when he gets the feeling that Oz is looking to come up in the world and that Oz believes he deserves more than he's getting, he begins to laugh in his face to his own demise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that right there was, it was such a good scene where he's laughing. And again, Colin Farrell just does such a great job, like toying with the emotions of, I did this because I hate you and I have an evil side, but also the, shit, like I just kind of set into motion a pretty terrible thing for myself.
Right. The moment he shoots the kid, he understands immediately, like, dang it.
Yeah.
That was probably not the right move. A bit impulsive. Not
good. Now I have to deal with this.
Yeah, right. And as he's dealing with it, he goes down to his car that is being a Maserati that's purple with gold rims, and it is being carjacked. But turns out the Penguin, you know, he has a gun that he just used to shoot at some other people. So he just starts kind of shooting at the kids, one of which does not get away. Your young boy, Victor Aguilar, and the Penguin slowly but surely, instead of murdering him, sort of takes him under his wing slash makes him an accessory to murder.
Yeah, and I guess this is a little bit of a spin on the comic books a bit, because I think canonically, Penguin didn't have like a henchman. This is taking a little bit of Batman finding Robin and kind of bringing him to the hero side. I was reading that Batman finds a group of kids that are trying to steal the Batmobile or wheels off the Batmobile, and one of them stays behind, and Batman gets him and teaches him a lesson and brings him to be the hero and all that stuff, and that ends up being a version of Robin. So I kind of liked that they mirrored that a bit to show some consistency with like the comic material.
Yeah, also the relationship between Oz and Victor, the young kid, is, I think, sort of the backbone of the show, or at least it's going to be.
It will
where
be, yeah.
It shows a more vulnerable side that we get multiple times in the first episode from Oz. He is conniving. He's smart. Yeah. Sure. He has had to fend for himself his entire life. He has a bum foot. The reason that he's called the Penguin is because he waddles, like actually waddles.
Yeah.
And he's not a cute looking boy, right?
No. He's got some battle scars.
He then says to Vic, like, the easiest thing I should do here is just murder you. Like, it'd be cleanest. And Vic's like, don't. And he's like, all right. And I think the reason he does, because also, like, Oz has no friends.
Yeah, I think he sees a little bit of himself in the kid, too. I think they even mentioned that towards the end of the episode. You know, I was brought up with little, too, and you know, I had to make a name for myself, and you know, I'm going to help you do that kind of thing.
Also of note, because this will come up later, there's this ring that belongs to a rival crime family that was is now in the possession of the Penguin. It had been stolen by the Falcones, so he now has that. Just know that in the back of your head. Anyway, we then go and see the operation. They are making an incredibly addictive drug called Drops. And
is that what it's called?
Yeah, they're called Drops. It's called Drops.
I didn't know that.
They said it a million times.
I just thought that was the slang name for it. I didn't know that that's like what they called it.
Right.
Jesus. Okay, go ahead.
And as they're getting shown around the operation, and Oz is seen as like he's the boss in this place and he's giving out orders, he gets a call because he's called in by the bigwigs of the crime family. And
the family.
Most likely getting called in from the family. It's never like, you're doing so good.
Yeah, no. We're restructuring.
Right, exactly. So he gets driven out by Vic to the suburbs outside of Gotham. What is basically probably the Hamptons, right? The version of the Hamptons, but for Gotham. And he's basically told they don't really care about the Drops anymore. They don't care about they care about the Drops, but they don't want their warehouse in the middle of Gotham anymore. They're moving it out to the suburbs, and he, the Penguin that is, has to do the move in the next like 2 days. And he's also sort of being fired from his role as the leader of said warehouse. We then, I think, have the conversation or the moment that I liked the most in this episode, which is Oz is talking to like two bigwigs who are telling him the way that it is. Oz is fighting it, but he doesn't seem to be working all that much water on grindstone. It's just not working. And then all of a sudden, because Oz is facing them, they start being quiet. And Oz is like, what do you got? Cat got your tongue? What's going on? Penguin got your tongue? Ha ha ha.
Hey.
And the reason they're being quiet is because behind them, Sophia Falcone has walked in the room, played by the incomparable Kristen Milioti. It's just a very good introduction to a bad guy. Because these two dudes who we know as like the top bad guys or the most in charge bad guys are instantly terrified.
She did Sophia. An amazing job. She's so good at this. She says so much with her eyes and her expression or lack thereof expression, because she's pretty dead face in a few of these scenes. But it adds to that like unease that I really love.
Yeah, I mean, she has gigantic eyes. Kristen Milioti does
that too.
And she does a really good job of having a very normal, I am a normal person face.
Sure.
And having eyes that are like, that lady's bonkers.
Yeah.
She just got out of Arkham Asylum, which is where they send the worst ones. And we get a little bit of her backstory, just sort of rampant murder, it seems like.
Yeah, the resident serial killer.
Right. And while Vic and Oz are going to be the backbone of the show, sort of carrying it, I do think the bootstraps from this show are going to be pulled up by Sophia Falcone and Kristen Milioti and her portrayal.
I agree. Yeah, I think she's going to be really, really good. I mean, she's already a very, very good baddie.
Let's port forward a little bit, though, and we'll come back.
Sure.
But I do think the intro scene was so good for Sophia I do think it took away a little bit from the second scene where...
Well, you're talking about the dinner scene or the lunch scene.
Yeah, the lunch scene that goes into the torture eventually of Oz. Because Sophia knows that her brother has been killed. She knows in her heart that Oz did it. And she is just trying to sort of coax that out of him. And I will say, like, once Sophia gets into the real world, gets like a cool hairdo and gets a gun, she becomes instantly less cool because you can't be more cool than you were in that first scene.
And, right.
And so it does sort of fall off for me a little bit. And it's something I'm going to track going forward. Just like, I don't know. It lost its mystique almost right away.
I didn't get that, but now that you mention it and like I'm thinking back to it, I can see how that happened. Yeah.
I mean, I think her performance is going to carry this through. I just don't know. It's the amount of staying power. There's going to be just a question mark over it for me.
Sure.
Moving forward.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
And then I actually think this might happen a few times, but. We then get a kind of look at the other side of the suburbs, like probably like the New Rochelle to New York City, right? The Yonkers to New York City.
Yeah.
And we visit Oz's mother. And that scene I thought was really good.
Yeah, she's great. I don't know who the actress is off the top of my head, but she is good.
She is kind of introduced as weak. She's introduced as fading.
Yeah, I thought she was like had a little Alzheimer's going on or something like that. Like didn't remember things like, oh, did you take your meds? Not sure. You know, I was out playing with the boys. Like what boys? There's no one here. Like I thought that she was like in a dream world in herself.
Yeah, but then she sort of snaps out of it the moment that her son shows any weakness.
Yeah.
The moment that her son is like, you got to get out of here. It's not safe for you here. I got to sort of get out of here too. It's not safe for me. Like we're just entering a situation that I don't have a full grasp on. At which time his mother's like, oh, actually you're being a bitch and don't.
Yeah. You did this out of instinct, not because you were scared.
Right. Yes. She says you didn't shoot him earlier because you're impulsive. You didn't shoot him because you're dumb. You shot him because you wanted to.
Yeah.
Do things because you want to do them. You're built for this, baby. And he's like, yeah. Like he's just a coach at halftime. Be like, get back out there, Penguin.
Yeah.
We then get a scene between Oz and Vic where he's basically like, Vic has now also seen Oz be weak. Like, this is a guy who just keeps telling Vic that if you do anything wrong, I'm going to stab you and kill all your family. But also, he saw him.
Got you like a fish.
Right. Like he's, and that's very funny because he's the Penguin.
Yeah.
But he's also seen, so he's seen him at his worst and he's seen him at his best all within like a 1 day time frame.
Insane.
And I think it then allows for Oz to be like, if you're in, you're in, and you're going to help me. We don't know as the audience how that's actually going to happen at this point. But we do understand that sometime in the future, Vic is going to have to choose to be helpful or not be helpful. It is in this moment where Oz raises the ante and goes and meets with a guy who is in jail. And he goes to, and he's a rival crime boss. And he basically goes and pitches him like, I'm on the come up. The Falcones are on the downturn. And you gotta help me.
Yeah. And Mr. Crab says, nah, 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 nah.
Right. It is truly actually Mr. Krabs. It is Clancy Brown, who is a like huge, he's Captain Hadley in Shawshank Redemption. He's Surtur in Thor Ragnarok, but he's also one of the most prolific voice actors of our time. Like, not only is he Mr. Krabs, but like, by the way, he's also in Gen V.
He's in John Wick. He's in Starship Troopers. Like, I didn't even really look into his history, but like, I knew I've seen him so many times, and obviously I knew him from
Right. By the way, Lego DC. He played Lex Luthor, which is fun.
Interesting. Yeah. He's done so much.
But yeah, he basically in the Penguin, his feeling on the subject, he's playing a guy named Salvatore Moroni. Moroni, a name you've heard before if you've paid attention to the DC universe, just as a rival crime family in Gotham, the Falcones and the Moronis. He basically says to Oz, like, yeah, what are you getting out of this? I'm not out here to help you. And so go away. At which point, Oz then takes out the ring that used to belong to Salvatore. And the fact that Oz has it is odd. Because how'd you get that, Oz? You remember how he got it, Adam?
He killed the son of Falcone, and Falcone took it from Sal. And yeah, it's like a trophy. The trophy that gets passed down through the family as a constant FU to the Moronis.
On their way back, Oz then gets abducted by Sophia's men, at which point we're back to where we talked about 10 minutes ago, where like she knows she is. And this is also, by the way, like at the main homestead of the Falcones in suburbia in the Hamptons. And she is straight up torturing him and having a dude trying to remove his arm with a piece of rope. It's a bummer.
Now I want to take a quick pause before we get too deep into this. The scene where he's driving his car and it's like kind of like a car chase.
Yeah.
Before he gets captured. This show is really good. I think it's done very well. But that car chase scene was bullshit.
Dude, car chases are hard.
It's not even the car chase itself. It was the scenes inside the car. It just wasn't believable that he was driving that car.
Why?
And maybe that's just me like being hyper specific about like nitpicky things. But like the outside world of the outside the window didn't look like it was going by the way it should. Like it looked fake to me. And it could be a stylistic choice, but it stood out pretty intense for me.
Yeah, and has a gun in his mouth. He's about when he's being tortured, he's about to be killed, but then Vic comes through and a car with a cement brick on the gas runs into the house. In the back of that car is Sophia's brother, the guy who Oz shot at the beginning, with his pinky cut off, where he was wearing the pinky ring that, again, Oz stole and gave back to Salvatore, implicating the Moronis in the murder of this young boy, and exonerating effectively Oz from this murder, at least in Sophia's mind, who completely believed that, and correctly so, that Oz did this in the first place.
Yeah, I thought this was great. I just love the twist of it. He's not stupid. Oz, he's incredibly smart and tactful in how he approaches things, and he will benefit from every single interaction in some way or another.
Right. This is a gritty crime drama, and in gritty crime dramas, you need a plan. That was actually I sounded a bit jokery, but it's all part of the plan. And so he made one up, And Vic executed it to almost perfection, although Oz would later point out, like, you were supposed to cut his head off. Why didn't you do that? And yeah. I loved Vic's lines. He was like, wow, I was just like thinking of the spine and thinking of the throat. And I was like, I don't know.
It's very normal.
And Oz's response was, well, room to improve.
Yeah. Well, we'll get you there soon, son.
And then we then get sort of like a post scene of Vic and Oz drinking slushies with both flavors combined, a callback line to earlier in the episode. And Oz basically saying to Vic, like, you did good, room to improve.
We're going to take over this city.
It wasn't built for men like us.
Right.
But we're gonna take it over.
Yes. And by the way, I think something that we should track, because it's a show that is also on, like DC is releasing a show on a weekly basis, that being The Penguin, at the same time that the MCU is.
Yeah.
And that
oh,
being...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Agatha All Along, a show that I also watched. The Penguin is such a better show.
Yeah, I was
Agatha
just going to say,
along.
It's wild that I flip-flop so hard. I was very against the DC stuff because it just wasn't done well. And now they have James Gunn at the helm. Everything is just better quality. It's written better. It's better stories. And now the MCU is becoming like kind of the one that I don't really care too much about. Although I hear that Agatha All Along is pretty good.
It is pretty good. It's just not as good as the Penguin is.
I know,
but
it's
to be
so
fair,
different.
The canvas that they're both being painted on, one is full of stuff and almost too full, and one is a empty canvas. So it has that it has that leg up. But at the same time, like they're both small stories again in these infinite worlds, one of which we've seen all of or most of. We've seen gods. We've seen celestials in one of them. And in the other one, we've only seen Batman.
They're not even like, did that even happen? Did the Eternals actually happen?
Yes. Like, they to much to the dismay of Kevin Feige, the Eternals did in fact happen.
So wild.
So we then get to the end of episode one of The Penguin. And I wonder, do you think the Penguin makes it out of Colin Farrell said he doesn't want to do it again. Do you think he dies at the end?
Well, so I had originally heard that this was going to be a limited series and not an ongoing series. So I don't know if it's going to be he dies and it, something else. We go on to a different story, or if it's going to be, he made it. He is now the Kingpin of Gotham, and that's just assumed moving forward.
I don't know if you can assume it moving forward, because you're going to continue to do Batman movies and he doesn't want to do it anymore.
I just hope he doesn't die. Maybe they put him in Arkham. Maybe he goes to Arkham and then he's there and he pops in every once in a while for a cameo voice or something.
Yeah, I think they're building up to him like sacrificing himself for Vic in seven episodes
maybe.
Or something.
Yeah. 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 I don't know. I like you said, it's a blank canvas. I have no like preconceived ideas of how this can go.
So, what were your favorite parts? That outside of the characters, outside of the story, what were your favorite parts of, the first episode? Something you're looking forward to more?
Yeah. I really like, Oz's wit, like I said, he's really smart when it comes to like dealing with an issue. You know, he pins this murder of the Falcone son on another rival gang or whatever you want to call him, family. And it's just like I said, it's tactful. It's smart. It makes sense. It's cool. It's a neat twist. So I really like that quality of him is really, really interesting to unpack. And I hope we get more of that, where he kind of wiggles his way into situations, in and out of situations, and he teaches Vic to do the same, or uses him as leverage. Because we even found out at the beginning, like, he is willing to give up another life for his own in that interrogation with the other guy they caught in the when he was getting tortured. And just like I could see that coming into play later with Vic. And is he going to choose to do that or help? Or, you know, I don't know. So the unknown there I really like.
I will point out, I said, what is your favorite thing outside the characters? But
I'm sorry. It's just, it's very, it lies so heavily on the character, though. It really does. Like, the portrayal of him is so good and so interesting that I want to know more. I want to see more of him on screen.
Something else I want to cover here is that this show is being run by Craig Zobel. Craig Zobel, a prolific director of television, directed one episode of Westworld, three episodes of The Leftovers, American Gods, The Hunt, Mayor of Easttown, seven episodes he directed for Mayor of Easttown. Also, one of the original creators of Homestar Runner.
Oh, my God. Oh, high school flashback.
Right?
Yeah.
It is unreal that he was making like Flash animations that we watched when we were 17 years old. And then he's now gone on to be the showrunner on The Penguin.
That's insane. What a fun fact.
That is a fun fact. So as we move forward in The Penguin, coming out on a weekly basis and actually on HBO Max, which is pretty interesting because we barely talk about anything on HBO Max anymore, which is our namesake, which is just like not an oversight. It's just we're being negligent.
And now we're getting there's another one that's coming out after the, not related to The Penguin, but Dune Prophecy we'll probably talk about too in the future.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. Right. And it is this thing where I don't even feel bad about it anymore, about like only focusing on things from large IPs, because that's everything. And,
right.
You know, it's just, this is happening at the same time. Today, the poster for Thunderbolts came out. It looks awful. Right. And yeah. I don't have any want or need to go see it. I think it's going to bomb completely. And that's at the same time that I think the new Superman movie that James Gunn makes is going to make a gazillion dollars and it's going to be great. And the Penguin starting us off on TV and with a slate coming at us over the next two or three years of DC that I'm really excited about because I'm finally, I mean, DC, the problem was that one dude wasn't running it. The reason that MCU for so long was so good is because they picked the right guy and he was doing an amazing job. Yep. And now I think DC has picked their right guy. I think they are focusing not only on TV and movies, they're focusing on comic books. They're focusing on they're graphic novels. They're doing like he's in charge of what action figures they make. Like,
yeah,
he's in charge of the whole thing.
It needed that. Yeah, it needed some consistency and some thought behind it because it was just all over the place. No movie was consistent. Who knows if it was canon to another movie? And it just it was a mess. And they weren't. I mean, they looked good. They were shot nicely, but like it was just so boring. I always found all the DC movies to just be really boring. But not anymore. Man, this is super well written.
I want to retract. This showrunner is not Greg Zobel. He is a director on the project. The showrunner is Lauren LaFranc, a supervising producer on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., funnily enough.
Wow.
Yeah, and now come over to the DC universe. Did you get Scarface? Scarface vibes a lot for me.
Yeah, a little bit. I got a lot of Sopranos vibes, like, you know, in true HBO fashion. Like, you know, this is the comic book Sopranos.
Which is tough, right?
I dig it.
The New York gangster is played out.
But it is, but it's also they make it fresh, man.
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, Colin Farrell was considered to play Bruce Wayne way back in the day.
Interesting.
What a different world that would have been.
That would have been so different.
And what a different world yours can be going into your and our future by listening to this show on a weekly basis as we cover The Penguin week in and week out. And you can get extra special content that we don't even post on the main channel as well if you join our Patreon, which Adam's about to talk to you about right now.
Yeah, join our Patreon at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. For $1 or more a month, you can get some exclusive podcasts. You can get shout out to the end of the episode. You can get some, you know, just happiness knowing that you're donating to a cool channel that we like to do stuff and project content for you at. But we'd like to thank our current paying subscribers, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Howdy Dream Cowboys, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Susan, Buffalo Pizzle, C. Fritz, and Filet Mignon number one. And thank you so much for Brent Ginn for being our $5 a month tier patron. We appreciate you. We appreciate all of you for everything you give to us. We use it to make our show better and you know, pay for subscriptions and things like that. So please continue to do that and support if you feel good about it. Also, follow us on all of our socials. At the HBO Boys pod or at the HBO Boys. I'm a heavy on Threads, TikTok, Instagram, anywhere you can get us. Like, comment, subscribe, reposts, chat with me, give us suggestions for future shows. We love to hear it.
Did you start this sentence with project content for you at?
I might have. I don't know. I kind of blacked out when I said that, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I got that notion.
We project out content for you. Is that wrong?
I mean, not holistically. I wasn't watching your face at the time, but I assumed your eyes rolled back into your skull.
Yeah.
As you were saying it.
Yeah.
Okay, bye everybody. Have a very good week. Bye.